Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Now, next Friday, after a number of delays due to COVID and 36 years since the original's release, Top Gun Maverick finally hits our cinemas. As sequels go, it's one of the most highly anticipated ever. But as with all beloved movies, there's a fear about going back again to these characters and ruining a legacy with either a poorly executed update or worse, a rehash of the first movie. But what you might not know is that many of your favourite movies that didn't put out a sequel came close to doing just that. And Brian Lloyd from entertainment.ie is here now to tell us about the sequels that probably, thankfully, didn't get made. Is that really the word I should be using?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, reading through this, like, I mean, there are some great films in this, but there are films that desperately did not need a sequel. And just, I mean, even to talk about kind of, you know, Top Gun Maverick for a second, I will freely admit, like, I mean, when I went in to see it, I was fully prepared to write it off. I mean, I was fully prepared to slate it because, I mean, the original one was such a kind of product of its time, do you know that sort of way? Like, it was such a kind of Cold War, jingoistic kind of thing. And I really didn't think that it had any kind of, I don't know, I didn't think it had any kind of relevance in the modern age. I thought it was going to be a film of sort of like for nostalgia's sake. But I have to say, and if you don't trust me, you can trust the holy all Irish Times, because Donald Clark came out of it and was similarly impressed by it as I was. So it is really, really good. I mean, I have to
I ask, what were you impressed by about it most?
I was impressed by the cinematography. Like, they actually...
Dooms a movie. Yeah, lovely cinematography. In other words, it's crap.
No, I swear to God, no, not at all. They actually basically strapped, like, IMAX cameras into the cockpits of jets and, like, flew them around the place. Tom Cruise, at 59 years of age, I mean, this was his star-making role, and to be honest with you, when he's on the screen, like, he still has that magnetic presence.
Oh, he does.
Like,
no question,
he's not lost it. Like, it's incredible. Yeah. Like, the storyline as well, I thought, was actually very, very emotional. Like, I mean, Val Kilmer comes back into it, and I don't know if you noticed, but Val Kilmer, who plays Iceman in the original, he's had a lot of health troubles recently.
Big time. I saw the documentary.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
It's frightening.
Yeah, frightening. He's in it, and he has to talk through a computer, and when he does speak, obviously because of the tracheotomy, that he doesn't speak in his full voice or whatever, but like, it's a very, very emotional scene between him and Tom Cruise, you know, about the idea of like aging, I suppose, and like what that does to a person, like, you know, for somebody like Tom Cruise, who is, you know, Peter Pan almost, like, Val Kilmer is a man who has aged quite well because of his health issues. Like, it's quite noticeable, you know. But I mean, I have to say, like, this is probably one of the Top Gun Maverick, I would say, is one of the most well executed sequels I've seen in quite some time.
Well, then let's move on to those that maybe are not. I mean, I'm not 100% sure. Let's take a look basically at some sequels that came so close to production, but to be fair, it's probably relief, as we say, they didn't, when you hear what they had planned. So first up is a franchise that didn't quite make it to movie number 4. I can't do I remember 2 and 3? I probably do, yeah. I certainly remember 1. I loved it. The Naked Gun.
Yeah.
That it was called The Naked Gun, The Rhythm of Evil.
The Rhythm of Evil, of course it was. And I'm the same as well. I absolutely loved The Naked Gun. I thought Leslie Nielsen, like, his deadpan humour was absolutely fantastic. So the story with this was that there was basically meant to be a direct-to-TV sequel where Leslie Nielsen's character, Frank Drebin, was going to train up a young rookie. But now, apparently the script was apparently very, very funny, but due to financial reasons, it was just canned and they didn't do anything with it. Then Leslie Nielsen passed away, so little chance of it happening. Now, there was talk that they were going to do this sequel again with Ed Helms. People would know him from the US Office. That went nowhere. Now, that was in 2013, I think. More recently, Seth MacFarlane, the creator of Family Guy, apparently was trying to get a reboot off the ground as well. I don't know. I mean, I think as much as I love kind of spoof and parody films, like, I mean, Blazing Saddles is one of my all-time favourite films. Like, I don't know. I think audience taste has kind of maybe moved on a bit. I don't know if this would kind of work as well then. Yeah. I don't think this would work as well now, perhaps. You know?
I remember when Airplane came out. I mean, it was just brilliant. I mean, it's just like the whole idea of that. Having said that, in the last few weeks, I've found myself going through channels after the football on a Sunday, and there's James Bond movies on a lot.
IDV3 or something.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. And Roger Moore. And then, like, they're so funny. So bad on every single... Like, Roger Moore can't act for starters, but just so bad that, like, why do we need Austin Powers?
But I mean, like, okay, see, it's funny because I think, and we're kind of getting off topic here, but I like it. Roger Moore, I think, knew what he was up against. As in, I think those films are actually quite knowing, because you're right, they are terrible, but they're so terrible that everyone working on this must have known that this was basically a spoof. Like, I mean, Roger Moore famously said that James Bond was the worst spy in the world because every time he went into a pub or a bar, they knew his drink order straight away. That's just grounds for the most worst spy in the world. And like,
brilliant.
No, and like, I think, you know, Roger Moore, like, he's a very, like, if you see him on other stuff, like, he's quite a knowing actor. Like, he is quite aware of the ridiculousness of it, like, and I think
maybe he's aware of the fact that he can't act.
That too, yeah. And he's just
away
like,
with it. Anyway, listen, let's move on then, because The Naked Gun, The Rhythm of Evil never got made, and now with Leslie Nielsen gone, never will get made. What about Forrest Gump 2?
Yeah. This, I tell
you, did that get anywhere?
That didn't get anywhere. They had the script written seemingly, and apparently what was going to happen was it would have seen Gump basically create new Coke, which was that short-lived Coke in the 80s. He would have captured Saddam Hussein, if you can believe that. And then he would have met a young celebrity filming a movie called Big, as in Forrest Gump would have met young Tom Hanks. Nuts, basically. Exactly the kind of film that would have been pitched in the early 2000s when, you know, studios were just looking for anything and everything to try to get people in. The story is Tom Hanks basically read the script and said, absolutely not, it's just a retread, and for, you know, the whole thing was nixed. Probably for the best, because I don't think Forrest Gump could have stood up to a sequel. I mean, the film barely stands up as it is.
So money would have been spent on it anyway, and to some extent.
I'm sure. Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, money would. Yeah, I mean, they obviously paid for the script or whatever, and they obviously had some sort of like development going on, like, and what have you. But like, I mean, the minute Tom Hanks seemingly read the script, he was like, absolutely not. It's just the same thing. Over.
Okay, here we go. Forrest Gump.
That day, for no particular reason, I decided to go for a little run. So I ran to the end of the road, and when I got there, I thought maybe I'd run to the end of town.
President Carter, suffering some seat exhaustion, fell into the arms of...
And when I got there, I thought maybe I'd just run across Greenbow County. And I figured since I run this far, maybe I'd just run across the great state of Alabama. And that's what I did. I ran clear across Alabama. For no particular reason, I just kept on going. I ran clear of the ocean.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of controversy about that movie. People absolutely hating the stuff and the feminist side of it and the Vietnam side of it and everything else out of it. To be honest, I saw it once, kind of enjoyed it. Thank God it's not a second one. I never want to see it again.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I mean, like, it was one of those weird films in the 90s that people just kind of latched onto, and now it's kind of a critical reevaluation. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was so cool to be cool with Tarantino with everything he did, that when he made Kill Bill 1 and Kill Bill 2, obviously the bride is going to come back. Did she?
No. And like, to be honest, I mean, out of all the sequels in this, I think this and the other one I have, LA Confidential, I think these are the two ones that I would actually really want to see. The story with this basically was that... the story was basically going to pick up with the child of Vivica A. Fox's character, and she was going to be trained by Sophie Fatale, was the character's name. I think it was something Dreyfus was her name. I forget, blanking on it now. But basically, it was going to be another revenge story, and the young girl who basically survived the bride was going to go after the bride, Uma Thurman's character. And now, up as far as 2009, he said, you know, he still wanted to do it. He still had plans to do it. There's no word since then. I mean, I know when he was on the press tour for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he was asked the question and just kind of dodged it. Like, is it, oh, I don't know, maybe.
I thought
maybe,
he was giving
maybe.
Up.
That was it, yeah. He said he was going to retire after his 10th film. Right. And he's coming up to his 10th film now. I would be surprised... I would be really surprised if his 10th and final film was Kill Bill 3.
Yeah.
And not only that as well, I personally don't think he's actually going to end up retiring after his 10th film, because...
Sure, even if he does, he'll come back. They all do.
They all do, yeah. I mean, like, look at Daniel Day-Lewis. Like, Daniel Day-Lewis will be back, like, you know what I mean? He's not retired. Like.
Yeah, we could do with him again. And how about this here? Look, the original, and one that really sort of was the zeitgeist for people, The Breakfast Club.
What is going to happen to us on Monday when we're all together again? I mean, I consider you guys my friends. I'm not wrong, am I?
No.
So on Monday, what happens?
Are we still friends, you mean? We're friends now, that is?
Yeah.
Do you want the truth?
Yeah, I want the truth.
I don't think so.
Oh my God. Okay, so was The Breakfast Club, the second one, going to be like in the next year in school or college or whatever, or was it going to be something else?
It was going to be 10 years in the future.
Oh,
yeah.
Right, okay.
So the idea basically was that John Hughes wanted to pick up with the cast 10 years later, and he was going to start production in 1994. But one of the reasons why the film didn't get made was that John Hughes had a massive bust-up with Judd Nelson, who played John Bender, who I think you heard there. And now, seemingly, the story was that Judd Nelson at the time was big into method acting. And if you've seen the film, the character that he plays, John Bender, like, he's the rebel and he's smoking in class and he doesn't give a crap about anyone and blah, 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 blah. And on top of that as well, apparently, he was treating Molly Ringwald quite poorly on set and off set. And, you know, John Hughes apparently was going to sack him on the set and replace him with somebody else. But the cast had to kind of talk him around and they're like, no, he's just doing this on purpose. Or he's doing it to get into method, and they were going to do it again, but then they just never did. I mean, to be honest, I mean, you know, I think The Breakfast Club, again, it's kind of like Top Gun in the sense of, like, it's a product of its time, you know, all the music references, Simple Minds and all that. Maybe it could have worked 10 years later in 1994 when they're all kind of in their 20s or 30s or whatever, but I don't know. I think it's probably one of those things that's probably best left on.
There were a lot of legal battles over film rights, you know, studios becoming companies, becoming conglomerates.
Yeah.
And it's just everything just gets lost and in development hell and all the rest. I mean, like, they made more than one Godfather. They made more than one Rocky, etc. Mm. But they're supposed to make a Casablanca and an E.T. too.
Yeah, I remember there was one about E.T. too, that they were going to do a thing and it was going to be almost kind of like a horror or something like that. Yeah. The story was, Steven Spielberg and Melissa Mathison, who actually was Harrison Ford's ex-wife, they apparently were asked to come up with a sequel, and the idea was that aliens were going to land on Earth and then the race of ETs were going to come back and fight them.
Okay. I mean, it's funny when you say that the second be a horror, because, like, the first Babe was just such a nice movie for everybody.
Yeah.
But the second Babe, one of the greatest sequels of all time, which freaked kids out, it seems.
Totally.
I can see that, but it's really good. Babe, Pig in the City.
Yeah, and again, I think that, you know, I think that's a good example of, like, a sequel that, like, you know, so often is the case that film studios and directors and writers think that people just want the same thing over and over again.
Oh, this shifted gear big time.
And this, I mean, Pig in the City for sure changed it up entirely. And I think, you know, that is often the better option of the two, rather than just a rehash.
Yeah, but this changed to the point where it scared people. They had no idea it was going to do that.
Oh, completely. Yeah, and that's George Miller for you. Like, I mean, George Miller, like, he was so Mad Max and, Fury Road and all that kind of thing. Like, he's so sort of experimental and was so willing to go to these strange and often disturbing places.
If they did a Babe 3 and it was science fiction, I'd watch it.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, I'd give that a go.
Now,
yeah.
You mentioned LA Confidential, which is one of the great movies at the end of the 90s. LA Confidential 2,
So the story was that James Ellroy, obviously he'd written other novels with the same characters, you know, and the talk was that they were going to do White Jazz. And they were going to bring back Guy Pearce's character, Ed Exley. Now, seemingly the story was that you were mentioning there that the, you know, conglomerates and what have you, seemingly Warner Brothers, I think it was, didn't want them to use the Ed Exley character because they were going to either do a TV series or something like that, or they had something planned. And cut a long story short, the film never got made. For his part, though, Guy Pearce said, like, it's the one role he's done that he would happily come back to and play it again and again if he wanted to. What he said was in an interview was that, there was talk about whether we'd create something new, basically 10 years on in 1963. But he elaborated that the sequel never went anywhere because it was too expensive and too difficult. I can see that because, you know, when you go back and you watch LA Confidential, I mean, the period detail that they have in that film is absolutely incredible.
It is.
And not only that as well, but the way that they did it was, they put it all in the background. It made it look like it was part of the scenery and not something that, like, they had to spend 10 minutes focusing on. Because that's something that I think, you know, Downton Abbey does very, very poorly. When they do all these kind of period details or whatever, they spend, like, 15, 20 minutes luxuriating on it. You know, because the reality is that if it's set in that time period, no one really cared how good, you know, the chair looked or the glasses looked or anything like that. They just lived in it, like, do you know that sort of way?
Yeah, I know exactly.
And LA Confidential did that really, really well. Like, they just made it like it was in that world.
One of the things I always remember about LA Confidential, in fact, speaking of a Babe, because it was, you know,
Russell Crowe, yeah.
No,
oh, no, James Cromwell.
James Cromwell. It was like one of the most amazing exits ever in a movie. He just turns around making the cup of tea and Kevin Spacey is gone, but he doesn't go without saying what?
Rollo Tomasi.
Rollo Tomasi. Yeah, that's and your man is obsessed with it all the time.
It's you know,
so good.
It's so good, and like think of it as well is that like the way that James Cromwell, he's able to turn from like this kind of harsh maternal kind of figure to this.
That'll do, pig.
To just cold-blooded, like, killer in the space of an instant.
And in fact, at the moment, he's big time in the news. Once again, he's...
got arrested again,
he? He went into a Starbucks or something, and he's last week, and he glued himself to the counter.
To the counter, yeah.
Just so he get lots of publicity, because he's given out about the fact that they don't unionise and all the rest of it. He's anti-Amazon. He's been arrested a few times. And if you think about the person he is in real life at the moment, and has been for the last few years with all his protests, and think about his character in Succession.
Yeah.
His revulsion of the Roy character, of the Roy family. Yeah, even though he's the real patriarch. Anyway, let's move on to something else, which is this one here. This is a very famous movie, Oscar winning all over the place, that was made in County Meath. Are you ready for this?
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the north, general of the Felix Legions, loyal servant to the true emperor Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife. And I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
And I will have my vengeance in this movie or the next. And was there a Gladiator 2?
There was going to be a Gladiator 2, and I know you're a big fan of Nick Cave. I think you're going to enjoy this, right?
Oh, yeah?
Nick Cave wrote a script.
We always end up talking about Nick Cave.
Yeah. I'm, do you know what? I haven't changed. My opinion has not changed since the last time. I think he is contrived. I think he is, you know, there is no authenticity in any of his performances. It's all just artifice, whatever, anyway.
Okay.
But, yeah, so Nick Cave and Warren Ellis wrote this script basically where Maximus Decimus Meridius was going to go through, he was going to be fighting through the afterworld, or the afterlife, the Roman afterlife, and he was going to be fighting Roman gods, yeah, and then was going to make his way back to our time, and he was going to embody the spirit of an American soldier. It was absolutely bananas. From start to finish, apparently.
Sounds brilliant.
I mean, now, I will say, this is it. It's one of those things that it's like, it sounds so crazy, it could just work.
And it's like Monty Python. We'll attack Wales. They'll never expect it. It might just work. We have the element of surprise. What are you on about? Okay, hold on a second. Let's just start this one here in terms of Gladiator 2.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, obviously.
Well, no, funny enough. Oh. No, well, I take it back. Ridley Scott apparently... in his big old age, is apparently gearing up to do a Gladiator sequel. He wants to do
it. Did you see his last duel or whatever it's called?
I did, yeah.
I must say, like, in terms of, like, the kind of in-your-faceness of it all, it was pretty damn good,
wasn't it?
Really good, very powerful, you know?
And I tell you something, I'm really surprised that it didn't do better with audiences than it did, because it kind of like came and went from cinemas.
Well,
I think
there was a lot of blood and muck in it, but it was good. Okay, let's go for the last one, which is Ferris Bueller. Another Day Off, really?
Yeah, I mean, as tired and all as that sounds, they were going to do a sequel of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It was going to be him in college, and he was going to basically swanny off for another day off. I mean, I think, again, this is one of those things that was probably for the best that it wasn't made, because it just would have been a rehash of the original. Matthew Broderick as well, you know, I think that kind of like cheeky boy charm kind of worked when he was in his, you know, early late teens, early 20s or whatever, but like when he's, you know, hitting 25, 30, it wouldn't have worked. That being said though, they did do a Super Bowl commercial and he kind of reprised his character, but it was like a little 3-minute ad of him taking a day off.
Okay, listen, Brian Lloyd, entertainment.ie, good on yourself, Brian, thank you very much indeed. This is not from Another Day Off for Ferris Bueller. This is from the original Day Off.
This is my 9th sick day this semester. It's getting pretty tough coming up with new illnesses.
Dave Fanning on 2FM.